The wind.
The water.
The liberation of God's people began with
the burning of a flame.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
Moses led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God.
There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush.
Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks rock to pieces?
He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The liberation of God's people continued with fire.
And with wind.
On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as a thick cloud on the mountain.
And a blast of a trumpet so loud that all the people who were in the camp trembled.
Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire.
The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently.
As the blast of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses would speak, and God would answer him in thunder.
God's people remembered their liberation out of Egypt in the celebration of three festivals:
Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread,
Shavuot, or Pentecost,
and the Feast of Tabernacles.
For God had said,
3 times in the year you shall hold a festival for me.
You shall observe the Feast of Passover, which marks the first spring harvest.
You shall observe Pentecost, the Thanksgiving festival of the harvest of wheat.
And remember the giving of the law.
You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles at the end of the harvest,
when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor.
These are the 3 times in the year when all your males shall appear before the Lord God.
The fire, the wind,
the water.
After his suffering, Jesus presented himself alive to the apostles by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God.
While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father.
This is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
When the day of Pentecost has come, they were all together in one place.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind.
He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants.
And it filled the entire house where they were sitting.
And anything else that can withstand fire must be put through the fire, and then it will be clean.
Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them.
Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived?
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
The fire.
The wind.
The water.
Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem.
Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there.
And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each.
And they said to one another, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth."
Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Germans, Swedes, Palestinians, the residents of Moscow, Geneva and Beijing, Pretoria and Cairo, France and Indonesia, Egypt and Libya, visitors from Argentina?"
And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech."
In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power.
So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city.
Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?
All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another,
"What does this mean?"
But others sneered and said,
"They are filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them.
Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning.
The fire,
the wind, the water.
This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit.
Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty.
The water that I give them will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life.
And they shall prophesy, and I will show signs in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist.
The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law.
So that when they took on the one whom they had pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn.
This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear.
On that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity.
Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified.
Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles,
Brothers, what should we do?
Peter said to them,
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him.
And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying,
Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.
Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
The fire, the wind, the water. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need.
Each man will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm.
Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple,
they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts,
praising God and having the goodwill of all the people.
With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
And day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Maar als de Heilige Geest op jullie neerkomt, zullen jullie kracht ontvangen om de waarheid over mij te vertellen aan de mensen in Jeruzalem en ook in Judea en Samaria en zelfs tot in de verste uithoeken van de wereld.
Mas receberá o poder quando o Espírito Santo descer sobre você e serão minhas testemunhas em Jerusalém, em toda a Judeia e Samaria e até os confins da terra.
Mais vous recevrez une puissance, le Saint-Esprit survenant sur vous, et vous serez mes témoins à Jérusalem, dans toute la Judée, dans la Samarie, et jusqu'aux extrémités de la terre.
Julle sal krag ontvang wanneer die Heilige Gees oor julle kom. En julle sal my getuies wees in Jerusalem, sowel as in die hele Judea en in Samaria en tot in die uithoeke van die wêreld.
परंतु जब पवित्र आत्मा तुम पर आएगा तब तुम सामर्थ पाओगे और यरूशलेम और सारे यहूदिया और सामरिया में और पृथ्वी की छोर तक मेरे गवाह होगे। ये प्रभु का वचन है।
Pentecost is one of those days, one of the parts of the Christian year where we actually start to understand ourselves better. What's the best way to describe a Christian or to say what a Christian is? Our tendency, I suspect, is to say that a Christian is somebody who knows God. A person who has an understanding about some of these deep truths that are revealed in the Bible, and so has a grip on certain doctrines and explanations about things. That's true as far as it goes, but I don't think that is the best answer, or at least should be the first answer that we give to what is a Christian. The better answer, the first answer that you give in trying to describe who we are or what a believer is, a Christian is a person who has a clear understanding of him or herself. A Christian is a person who says, I am a broken person. There is something about me that needs to be fixed, that isn't right. And makes me somehow wrong. We sing this song, Amazing Grace, and it's a lovely song, and We sing it often, I think, it's safe to say. But when it says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." A Christian is a person who knows what that means, who is able to say, in all honesty, that describes me and is the reason why my search, my journey, my openness to God has begun. So you'd expect then that Christians are people among whom one certain failing should be almost absent, almost unknown among us. It should be, you would think, so rare that a Christian is conceited or thinks so much of him or herself, somebody that's all puffed up with pride. How can we be puffed up with pride when we say the first thing that we know is our own brokenness, our own unacceptability before God? Now, that should be as rare as hen's teeth, but somehow, for some reason, it's actually not. There's a lot of us that are a little bit conceited. Maybe I'm talking about myself. Maybe I'm talking about you. You know the answer to that. It's odd. It's odd that we can be like that. Because we remember that as Christians, we know that we are saved, but we're not saved by ourselves. We're not saved because we're so attractive. We're not saved because we're so smart. We're not saved because we're so smart, so righteous, and so good. We say, no, we are saved. Absolutely. Another thing about Christians, they're people that say they know that they're saved. And they are saved by the act and the goodwill of another. And that other is Jesus Christ. Because of his sacrifice, we have hope. Because of what he accomplished on the cross, we can be saved. We have a future. We have the opportunity and the capacity to worship God, to lift his name on high, to sing these great songs, to read words of truth with conviction. And we know how great is our salvation. On that very first day of Pentecost, there were a whole bunch of people there who were as broken, as in desperate need of salvation as I am. They were crying out, whether they should have been, for a God to come near to them and bless them just like you. They were united in their need for God, but they were divided by the languages of their hearts and the culture of their diverse homelands. In my own experience, having been a missionary in another culture, I know that languages are intriguing and they're tricky, but they're beautiful in their diversity. It's also true that languages and cultures can be the venue of discrimination and put-downs and a whole raft of sin. It's interesting how in the Tower of Babel story, which was woven into the reading that we had, how languages became actually a gift to keep people from being united in evil. As you read that story carefully, you see that all the people were together, and because they were so united, they were able to have the evil in them become concentrated. And as an act of grace and mercy, the Lord looked down and says, I am going to confuse their languages. I'm going to diversify how they speak so that they won't have that unity which leads to evil. And so languages are a gift of God. But on the day of Pentecost, to all these broken people, splintered by language and culture, the wind and the fire of the Holy Spirit came flashing down out of heaven. And by the work of the Spirit, the words that had been barriers of division suddenly became united, not united in finding brokenness together, but now the Spirit allowed the words to speak in unity again, cutting through the barriers and the divisions that are in this world. We all know the story of Humpty Dumpty falling off his wall and being broken into pieces that could never be reassembled. On Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit came upon the world and came upon hundreds of thousands of Humpty Dumpties lying broken and shattered at the base of the wall. And with the power of his truth and the wonder of the gospel, people began to be put back together and held right again. And so the Pentecost is a day of celebration for us because we begin to see the work of Christ in salvation becoming applied to us and being given to us that we could experience the wholeness of the work of God. The Holy Spirit has come upon us as well as those people in Jerusalem. We who have made the great confession, formally or informally, who say that Jesus is Lord and that I am a humble servant of the Master. We who say that are people who have been picked up, set to rights, and held together so that we are whole by the grace of God. And so the proper response is gratitude. We say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for seeing me and not rejecting me in my brokenness. Thank you for allowing your power to be placed over me so that I am put together. Thank you for giving me now a whole person, a calling and a purpose and a way to be right in the world. Those disciples and the assorted Jesus followers who received the Holy Spirit back in that day, they were never the same again. They had a purpose. They had a calling. They had a new and better reason to get up in the morning, to live obediently before the face of God, to share in that compelling story of redemption, that truest of all stories. A story that's not just about somebody else, but a story of their own experience, what God has done for them in Christ. As it was for them, so it is for us. We are the people who have been reassembled. We are the ones who have been given a calling and a purpose and a mission. We live for Christ together. We receive our identity in Christ together, and our hope is in Him. Wouldn't it be nice if others knew the joy and the peace and the confidence that we have in the future? If people could know that the Lord is going to hold us all together through thick and thin, through health and sickness, through prosperity and times of want, through celebration and sorrow, the Lord is going to continue to hold us together. And so we live, and so we serve, and so we give glory to the Lord. And so we thank Him for His Spirit burning bright among us. I'd like to conclude by praying to the Lord, using the words of one of the great saints of the church, Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo. And would you pray with me as we pray, led by him? Breathe in us, O Holy Spirit, that our thoughts may all be holy. Act in us, O Holy Spirit, that our works too may be holy. Draw our hearts, O Holy Spirit, that we love only that which is holy. Strengthen us, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard us then, O Holy Spirit, that we always may be holy. Amen.